Amen. I like for you to turn to our base scriptures. Amen. No matter what the occasion and what's going on. Amen. The subject is the same, Jesus. More specifically, our theme this morning continues to be the glorious body of Christ, the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Can't think of any subject that can be more important than where we are eternally positioned in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, and we shall read it as Ella Liberman shall read it, and of course in conjunction with that, we are laboring in vain of the second chapter of Colossians. We move down to verse 11. We shall hit a couple of notes in verse 10, and we shall then move into verse 11. Amen. As we move forward. All right. Everyone has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Say amen. All right, Elder Reed.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
My Lord.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ
That's
have put on
Christ. That's the spiritual placing into Christ. It's not water. Amen. You don't come into Christ through the water. All right, Reed.
Verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Our Lord.
And if ye be Christ,
those who are in Christ,
then are ye Abraham's seed.
Abraham's seed and heirs.
And mm-hmm. heirs according to the promise.
According, as kata, which is there pointing to the fact that there is a promise out there. But that promise is not, here is not referring to the Abrahamic covenant. It's not the Abrahamic promise. Amen. We are in Christ through the essence of his eternal decree. We are justified. Amen. We are declared legally righteous in the eternal sphere. In eternity, he declared those whom he designated as sons to be free and cleared. He redeemed us, but he redeemed us in eternity. Amen. Redeem means to buy back. Amen. And in order to redeem something, you have to pay a price. And he paid the price in eternity. Lamb of God, slain in eternity, from the foundation of the world. Amen. All right, let's move down. So that promise, I should say, is the promise according to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we are justified, amen, according to that which he accomplished on our behalf.
Yes.
Amen. And so justification is by or through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ,
yes,
of his eternal work.
Yes.
All right. And moving to Colossians chapter 2 right quickly, let's focus on verse 9. The antecedent verses, I think, we should be entrenched into our spirits as preferencing conveyances that when we get to verse 9, we're thoroughly focusing on Christ.
Right.
Amen. Elder, this morning, we got a time constraint here, so let's start in verse 9, read through verse 13. Everyone that has Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 9.
Uh-huh.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Him being who?
Jesus.
All right?
And ye are complete in him.
Who is referred to as him?
Jesus.
So we are complete in him, in Christ, in the essence of Christ. Amen. The best thing that we have going for us. In fact, the only thing eternity that we have going for us, and of course it is more than enough. More than we need. Amen. It's more than sufficient. Keep reading.
Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
And we shall deal with that this morning. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Verse 12.
Buried with him in baptism.
Again, we're not talking about water. Somebody submerging you in the water is not, this barrier has no reference to water baptism. All right?
Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins.
You've been dead in your sins.
And the uncircumcision of your flesh. Has he quickened together with him.
He quickened. That's in the aorist tense. He made alive. Amen. When did he make us alive? He made us alive before he created us. Oh my God. Isn't that something? Oh my God.
Thank you, Lord.
We just thank him this morning.
Yes.
So he has made us alive together
with him,
having
forgiven you all trespasses.
Again, amen. Aorist tense. Having, not, amen, wondering, will I be forgiven? We're already forgiven. We were forgiven before we were created. You were forgiven, amen, before, amen, you were created in the likeness of Adam. Amen. God had a new creation basically in place before the human creation. Oh my God. So the new, y'all don't hear me this morning, the new creation preceded to, amen, the natural, physical, human creation. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Hallelujah. God had this thing fixed from the beginning. You say, well, that's fixed. Yes, amen. It was fixed. Thank God it was. Woo! Thank God it was fixed. Amen. It was never left from in a sphere where I might mess it up. Amen. This is what gives us the confidence.
Amen.
Now, as we had said to you last week, and I'm going to try to fast forward here a little bit, in verse 9, in him dwell all the fullness, amen, everything that is of deity is in Christ. And we have been placed in Christ. And this is what verse 10 is basically saying. Elder, I know you got your Greek book, Greek Bible. Amen. Those who don't have Greek Bibles, I want you to just listen. I want you to read verse 10.
Colossians 2.
And 10.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Greek translation. And ye are in him.
We are in him.
Having been filled.
You see a difference?
Who?
Having been filled. We are in him. Having been filled.
Glory.
We were made full in him.
Yes.
This is a completed process, and this is not something in motion. This is a done deal. There's nothing that can interrupt what God has already done for you.
Thank God.
We are in him.
Thank you.
You're not on your way to heaven.
Come on. Glory.
You don't have to hope you get there.
Yeah.
And pray you get there.
Glory.
It's already done.
Done. Glory.
Hmm? Oh, how comforting that is.
Thank God.
Because on any day we may mess up.
That's right.
Huh? If it wasn't already done.
All right,
now. Read that again slowly. I want that to sink in.
Okay. And ye are in him,
mm-hmm.
having been filled.
And here, the verb asti, that is, oh my God, hallelujah. That is basically saying where we are positionally. We are in him. We are in Christ. Everything is in Christ. You wonder why we talk about Jesus all the time? Amen. Because that's where the happenings are. In Ephesians 1 and 3, it speaks of spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ.
Yes, yes, amen.
What spiritual blessings? All of them. Every last one of them. Everything that is a benefit to you is in Christ. Amen. And you are in the heavenlies in him. In other words, the heavenlies is in Christ. If I took something and I put it in an envelope, didn't dip the envelope and put it in my pocket, ultimately what is in the envelope is in my pocket. And the envelope is in my pocket. Amen. And so we're in the heavenlies. And the heavenlies are in Christ. You want to know where the heavenlies are? Amen. No, not the New Jerusalem. Heavenlies are in Christ. That's, you say, well, what is that? You don't have to worry about that. Amen. The scripture teaches us that by him, amen, and in him,
glory.
And to him is everything. Amen. And if you have him, what are you worried about the things that are by him? Huh? Oh my God. It exceeds that.
Yeah.
So we are in him, but we are having been filled. Read.
Who is the head of all rule and authority?
There's a reason that is there. Because it speaks to the fact that he has control of all of the elements. In fact, when you turn, don't turn to it, but when you look at Ephesians 3 and 10, it says the purpose and intent of all of this is that he is going to look at the principalities and the powers and all of these. And when he does, he is going to show manifestly many faceted areas of his wisdom and knowledge. And you know how he's going to do that? Through those whom he has placed in his body. It's speaking about us. The church. That's what the church is. Those who are in the body of Christ. Now, in essence, this is saying that we have been made full in him,
mm-hmm.
and he is, speaking of him, it is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he is the head of all rule and authority. Here again, as we said last week, we note, I'm going to a little grammar here, and of course, grammar is the vehicle of principles and rules for the conveyances of words, so that when you read something, there is some organized mechanism for saying for the conveyances of what it is saying. In other words, five people can read something and come up with five different interpretations of what it is saying. So here you have the set of rules, the grammar,
yes.
Amen, as one of the tools to kind of help us and aid you to ascertain what the thought conveyance really is.
Yes, it is.
And so as we look here, we have a relative pronoun, owns. It is rendered who. It introduces the clause, which, amen, or who. Who what? It is the clause that speaks about who the head is. And the one that we're in is also the head of all rule and authority. So who introduces the clause is the head of all rule and authority. It modifies the pronoun apto, which is rendered him. So when you say who, you're talking about him. And when you talk about him, you're talking about Christ. All right? The intended message so stated is that we have been made full in Christ. And he is the head of all rule and authority. So we, amen, have been made full in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In the antecedent verse, and remember I said last week we have to tie the two verses in, we note again the rendering all the fullness, all the fullness of deity resides in Christ, certifying the fact that the completeness of God, or the Godhead, rests in Christ. Amen. The complete gamut of divinity resides in Christ. And every bit of what divinity is about is in Christ. Amen. You don't have to go, amen, to the Son for one thing, and to the you don't hear me, to the Father for another, and to the Holy Spirit for another. Amen. When you say Jesus, you said it all. Now this is very significant to us. As members of his body, amen, that Christ embodies the fullness of God. Right. It is very important, amen, for the security of us who have been positioned in him to know, amen, that we didn't get part of it, we got all of it. Yeah. Oh, my God. The scenario of full impact of this is comprehended. We just suppose the basic form of the Greek noun, pleroma. When we, amen, juxtapose, or when we, amen, compare them side by side, we take the word pleroma in the fullness, because now what we're focusing on is to come up with the true essence of what fullness intimates. So we take from verse 9, amen, pleroma, then the fullness, and then from verse 10, we take the verse form, amen, of this word, which is plerovini. It is rendered having made full. So we have fullness in verse 9, and we have having made full in verse 10. Take your Bibles, and I see some blank stares, and I want to make sure we're all together with this. You see in verse 9 the word fullness, amen, underlined in a circle or whatever, amen, in your Bibles, amen, or your textbook, so you shouldn't mind marking it up. And then in verse 10, amen, in the King James, they have the word complete, amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. But this is why we have read from the Greek text, the word amen, again, is rendered to have been made full. Amen. Here as we arrange these successions, it explicates the continuity of linking these conveyances together. And when we take these two verses together, amen, it says what Christ is and what we are. Amen. In verse 9, all the deity, amen, resides in Christ. Everything that is about God, amen, and everything you can think about God is in Christ. And in verse 10, it says, we have been, amen, made full or complete in Him. The essence of being placed in Him is the same as the fact of that we are full in Him. So everything, amen, divinity is in Christ. And everything we are, amen, is in Christ. Oh, my God. We talk about divinities, about Jesus so much.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Because God's people, we don't know who we are. And because we don't know who we are, there's a tendency to let life beat you down.
Yeah.
The problems and situations that we get so caught up in. Amen. You know the old adage, you can't see the forest or the trees. Amen. I hope I said that, didn't say that backwards. Anyway, we can't see God because we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at ourselves in manifestation and time when we should be looking at ourselves in the essence of Christ in eternity. Because whatever is going on today, it's just an occurrence that's happening on our way manifestly to our eternal placement of what God has already worked out.
Already.
So whatever it is, it's going to be all right. It is all right.
Yes.
Huh? Thanks you to sing the song, it's going to be all right. Amen. It's all right. Huh? Said Jesus will fix it. No, Jesus has already fixed it. Woo! And if you can internalize that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the encounters, amen, we'll be able to understand the writings that He who is in us, He's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than He who is in the world. The victory is not on the way to be won. The victory is already won. I don't mean 2,000 years ago, but in eternity, He fixed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have been made full. The phrase is actually literally este in afto peroromini. Amen. You have been made full. Hallelujah. We can use the gerund. Of course, there are no gerunds, amen, in the Greek, but it is in English. And in translation, we can say, haven't been made full. Amen. Huh? That's what we are. So even as we look at this, we see that everything is made complete. Because as He is complete, we are complete. By the very fact that we have been placed in Him. So even as there is total fullness, completeness, hear me now, and perfection in God, in Christ, likewise, we are in Christ, and therefore we share the same. Hence, the fullness of God resides in Christ, and in light of our in Christ position, we have been made fully supplied to the point that it's ridiculous to think that anything else could ever be added to it. When I think of all of the different formulas and remedies that denominations have contrived for salvation, it is ludicrous that in the manifestation of time, We are out here trying to do something that has been actualized in eternity. Amen. In addition to this, we note the importance of the fact, amen, as we look again at this word, plepharomene, it is participle. Amen. A little bit more, one or two points from the grammar so that we make sure that we pull out the essence of what we are conveying here. Mm-hmm. Participle is a what?
Verbal adjective.
Adjective does what? Describes. Verb is what? An action word. So you have an action word that's describing. Amen. Having been made full.
Yes.
Amen. Note, it is in the passive voice.
Mm-hmm.
Passive voice is expressing something that you have received or something that has been done unto you. Amen. So we didn't make ourselves full. In fact, we had nothing to do. Some things when you read God's word, and I'm praying, amen, for all of God's people, just become crystal clear. If the fact that you are full is because you are in Him, then you must understand that you had nothing to do, or you have nothing to do with the fact that you are in Him.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's
right. Yes.
There are some brethren, and I love them very much.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But they teach that the writings in the first chapter of Ephesians specifically is referencing a body, some inanimate body, when he speaks of the church, that individuals that are in it are somehow separated from the fact that he separated the body. In other words, the body is made of the members, but they teach that he separated the body without the members. Yet the body is made up of the, y'all don't hear me, of the members. And they preach and teach what they call corporate
election,
sanctification. You just go on down the line. In other words, God made the provisions. That's as far as He went. And then it's up to you to get in the body. So He didn't elect you, He elected the body. And if you get in the body, you got to do the electing. In other words, when it speaks of Him choosing us, He chose the body. He didn't choose us. Yet, we are the body. So how could He choose the body and not choose us? How do you separate the components of the members of the body from the body? But when we look at this Greek participle here, plepharomene, it specifically speaks to the end,
yes,
that we have been made full, or we have received the benefits. In the passive voice, it says that being saved is something that has happened to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That you had nothing to do with.
Same.
And this is so necessary. Because remember this, if you have something to do with getting a body, then it's going to be required of you to do something to stay in the body.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
If you had a part of getting in, then you've got to have a part in staying in. That's frightening.
It is.
Huh? Because I know, I know myself. Amen. Huh? No. This is not to say, hey, we just go out and do anything. That's not what this is for.
No.
This is to give us encouragement.
Thank God.
Because that's what we need. We need encouragement.
Amen. Amen.
We're out here in a depraved environment.
Right.
In the universe. That has many forces that are working against us. And we need to know that we have more going for us than can ever come against us.
Right.
We need encouragement this morning.
Glory to God. Thank you.
So the passive voice speaks to the fact that this is something that has been done to us. Follow me now. It's also in what in the Greek what we call the perfect tense. The perfect tense is a what? Past, completed, action with what? Continuous results. So what we are is a result of what He made us to be in eternity. You are saved now because you were saved in eternity. So no, I was saved on such and such. That is the manifestation of when you identified with your salvation. And see, that's hard for us to understand because we're used to thinking of things in terms of happening when we know it. You know the old adage of Columbus discovered America. America was here all the time, but it didn't exist until he discovered it. And even in the scriptures, the women came to the tomb at sunrise early, and they discovered that Jesus was resurrected. And so for years, it was taught, and probably still being taught now, that Jesus rose early on Sunday morning.
Come on.
Early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, is when they realized that he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me about sunrise service. No. The Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock in the evening. Any time after 6 o'clock that Saturday night, which was actually the beginning of the Jewish day, Jesus was free to leave that grave. And so it is possible that he had been gone for 12 hours. So when we look at this, and we think of being saved, and you think of your spiritual birthday, that is not the actuation of when you were saved.
Amen.
The actuation of when you were saved is not when you knew it,
right,
but when God knew it, when God perceived it.
Yeah. Amen.
And we were saved in the eternal realm, because this is when Jesus died in the eternal realm. This is when he resurrected in the eternal realm. This is when he chose you, elected you in the eternal realm. This is when the redemptive work of Jesus Christ was finalized in the eternal realm. This is when you were sanctified in the eternal realm. This is when you were justified in the eternal realm. This is when you were regenerated in the eternal realm. And everything else, including the fact that you were glorified, even though it hasn't been manifested, it's a done deal because it happened. It's actualized in God's decree in the eternal realm. So it happens when God perceives it, not when we realize it.
Amen.
This is what this is conveying to us. Give me about 10 minutes. We have many things to do this morning, but I tell you,
Hallelujah.
We'll be back next week or the week after. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And really take this thing apart. Oh my God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Don't you just love him this morning?
Yes.
When God pulls back the cover,
yes, right,
and you see that all the way back to eternity how much he loves you.
Yes.
Amen. Doesn't it intensifies the impact of what he has done.
Right.
Amen. Rather than thinking that on some certain day you decided to do something, you went to church and, amen, you heard the right message at the right time, and, amen, you made a decision for Christ. And then, and when you go all the way back to the turnaround and see, amen, this ain't about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Amen. Hallelujah. And he did it back in a time where we can't debate about whether we had a part. Because in eternity, nobody was around but God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as we see ourselves as the recipient of these actions, and the fact that we have been made full, and it is God who has made us full, we look at his sovereignty, his right to perform the act of placing us into Christ and effect making us full and complete in him. It solidifies the entire process. Here, the clear message is that God provided both the fullness and the obtaining of it. Amen. Also, the perfect tense that we have spoken of amply documents the security of this full and complete position that we have in Christ.
Yeah.
Grammatically speaking, the perfect tense infers completed action in the past, as we've said, with continuous results. So the given entity that God has conveyed these blessings upon us, or conferred, I should say, these blessings upon us in eternity.
Yes.
So God in eternity sovereignly performed this act with its resulting manifestation continued in full effect in the sphere of time.
Right.
In other words, the reason why you get to heaven is because you're already there.
Right.
And because of what he's already done. Has nothing to do with you. So you don't get into Christ, jump out of Christ. Amen. Go repent. Amen. And get back into Christ. Mess up again. Get out of Christ. You see the foolishness that we have been taught over the years. It's not about you. It's all about him. This is the exclusive basis for the perpetuation or the continuation of all of us who were previously placed in this state of fullness.
Yes.
And if you have, amen, the status of fullness, you can never, amen, be anything less than full. Amen. In other words, what is full is complete. And everything is there, everything is done,
yes.
Amen, and cannot be undone. If the glass is full, this particular glass, you can't empty it out, not even part. Not one drop or one essence of what God has done for you in Christ can be undone. Cannot be altered, cannot be moved, cannot be changed. Amen. This is why Paul make the statement, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. You know, death, that is a separator. Death does change things. Paul said, not in this case. Amen. That nothing shall separate me. Nothing shall separate me. Nothing, amen, shall alter the fact that I'm full and complete in him. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So nothing can alter, eradicate that which the infinite sovereign God has planned, willed, and implemented in the eternal realm. I think I'll repeat that.
Yes,
nothing can alter or eradicate anything that an infinite sovereign God has implemented. He first planned it. And I know there are some that teach, even the sovereign grace people, they teach that eternity was just the planning stage. And time is the arena for implementation. In other words, they teach that God just planned it in eternity, but he has to do it in time. No, He planned it. He did it. He finished it. In eternity. Amen. And we teach 2,000 years ago, he went to Calvary, and he did. He died on the cross, and he did. He went into the grave 3 days and three nights, and he did. And after that time, he rose, and he did. But these are manifestations of the essence of what he accomplished in eternity. The blood of Jesus was shed in eternity. The blood of Jesus was always available to God. There are some that teach the so-called doctrine of forbearance, not understanding that word. Amen. Basically, the question is, what happened? And how did God deal with the fact that men sinned long before Jesus went to the cross? How did God put up with the sin of his elect? In other words, how did he put up with the sin of Adam? Why didn't he just go into the garden and wipe him out? Because after all, the wages of sin is death. And no question about it, it is documented Adam's sin. Amen. Why didn't Adam die? Amen. Noah and his family, when God wiped out the world through the flood, why did Noah and his family die? He said, because he found grace. Amen. Amen. Yes, he did. Yeah. If you know what you're really saying.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it was proven that this man, wasn't perfect, because soon as the flood was over, he got wasted. Amen. Huh? Why didn't Abraham die when he went down into Egypt and things didn't appear as he thought they should be? He went down into the promised land, brother. And he left there and went into Egypt. Got in trouble and told a lie and said Sarah was his sister, not his wife, to try to save his name. Why didn't God wipe him out? Amen. Why didn't, all the so-called heroes of faith die?
Right.
Amen. As they, and of course the Bible in Hebrews doesn't call them heroes, but that's what they call them. Amen. Watch that word, hero.
Right.
Amen. But when you look down to the annals of time prior to the cross, you see Joseph. You said, Joseph was perfect. No, Joseph wasn't. We had time. We take you there and show you. Amen. The Bible, amen, was always careful to show that men are not perfect. Amen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Look at Moses. He said, if that was such a man. And Moses, he told him to speak to the rock. What did he do? He hit the rock. He did die, and they even fought over his body. That was his body. I'm speaking of the essence of who he is. Amen. Why didn't David? David, when David should have been out there with his troops, he was messing around at home and got in trouble. Amen. And committed to not only adultery but murder. Why didn't God wipe him out? Well, y'all don't hear me this morning. Why? How did God put up with that? Amen. And Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. Huh? Why? As we look into the essence of Israel, amen, when God said, if you serve me and if you walk after my statutes, I'll bless you. But if you don't, because they're always talking about the blessings, these prosperity ministries, but they don't talk about the fact because there's a flip side of that coin. He said, if you don't obey me, amen, I'm going to wipe you out. And to this day, Israel is spared. Israel, God's covenant people are under the mercies of God. Why? Because Jesus had gone to Calvary. The answer is the blood of Jesus was always available to God. Because the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. It was actualized in eternity and manifested 2,000 years ago. Amen. We didn't get to verse 11 today. Hallelujah. I've got to close now. Oh, but you must understand. You must understand. Oh, my God. God's people need to understand. Amen. The security, the full impact of what we are in Him. That you're not just out here stuck. As I was saying to someone this week, you're not just out here floating in the universe with all of the forces that are compelled to be against you. Why are these forces compelled to be against us? Because nature is cursed. Not only men, but nature itself, creation. Paul said in chapter 8 of Romans, amen, that even nature, creation, it groaneth. It's anxious for this to be over. Huh? Hallelujah. But in spite of that, you're safe. You're safe. We sing that song, but I don't think we really know what we're saying. What a fellowship. What a joy to find. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe. Can you say safe? Can you say safe? You see, amen. Saved means safe, and safe means saved.
Amen.
And saved is in the past tense.
Glory to God.
Huh?
Amen.
And secure. Can you say secure?
Secure.
Not in your pension.
No.
Secure from all alarms. Why? When we say we're leaning on His everlasting arms, what we're saying is that we're securely placed and positioned in the glorious body of Christ. The essence of the greatest blessing that you as a child of God can ever realize. And this is the message. What the good news entails that we, amen, have the best that God had of all creatures and of all creation. There is no blessing that can compare with what He has done. No blessing exceeds it. And so when I think about being blessed, to a certain extent, thank Him for a reasonable amount of health. Thank Him for shelter and thank him for raiment. I thank him for feeding me. I thank him for the physical blessings. But that's not where security lies. Huh? This is why Paul was swayed by the things that happened to him. Here's a man says, I was persecuted even beyond measure. Perils of waters. Perils of countrymen. A night and a day in the deep. Taken outside of Lystra. Those who had followed him to three cities. When they got to him and stoned him, these were people that he had made enemies with. He didn't make enemies with them. They made enemies with him. Two cities back. It started in Antioch, where the Grace Church came into its manifestation. And he left there and he went to Iconium. And it wasn't good enough for him that he had left town. Usually if somebody's messing with us and they leave town, we say, well, good, let them go bother somebody else. But they followed him to Iconium and stirred up some men there. And so he left Iconium, but that wasn't good enough. He went into Lystra. So the brothers, shouldn't say the brothers, the men, from Antioch, went into Iconium, and they got some allies against him. And then when he left and went to Lystra, the brothers, not just saying the brothers, the men from Antioch and Iconium went into Lystra and recruited some help. And it was there that they stoned him and left him for dead. So why would God allow that? When we think about safety, we think about we should never be in any accidents. Nothing should ever happen to us. We should never get sick. Amen. So God didn't want you to be broke. God didn't want you to be hungry. See, that's not in our gospel. But when you look at what happened to him and what God did with that and what God's plan was for that. And Paul recalls it some later. He said, I took a beating, but I'm glad I took the beating because he said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the flesh, out of the flesh. I don't know. I can't tell. If I was in the flesh, I didn't know it. If I was out of the flesh, I didn't miss it. It didn't matter one way or the other. But he said, I was caught up above the third heavens. And he showed me some things that were unalterable. What did God show him? It was part of the revelation.
Yes, sir.
He took him up. And he allowed him to see the spectrum of the eternal plane.
Yes, sir.
And we have that privilege this morning.
Yes.
Eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor is it entered into the hearts of men those things that God has revealed unto those, but he has revealed them unto us. And we know them this morning.
Thank God.
And we understand them. God bless you. I'm praying this Easter and every Easter and every day, amen, eyes are cast above the essence of the plane that we stand on into the eternal realm. God bless you. There's one maybe this morning, and the Spirit of God is moving upon your heart, and it's because God has caused it to move. This is your day of identification with the position that He has placed you in from eternity. Mm-hmm.